What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
All right, 9-10, so we know the LSU Super Regional is going to take place on Saturday, Sunday, and maybe Monday if necessary. Jason Williams joins us now, New Orleans DA, to talk about a whole bunch of stuff. How you doing, Jason?
I'm good, Mr. Tucker. How are you?
I'm all right. That's my daddy. Call me Tommy, please.
Let's talk about...
Is there any doubt that this is Antoine Massey on this video?
You know, I'm not gonna confirm or deny or comment. I'm gonna leave that to the men and women that are putting themselves in harm's way to get him back into custody. They'll decide how to answer that question. I think it speaks for itself.
All right, let me ask you then about some of the claims that are made on it. I don't know if he's a jailhouse lawyer or what he thinks, but you can't just walk out of jail because somebody... I don't understand what the video is trying... Do you understand what it's trying to say?
This has all been so bizarre. I'm not going to get into trying to translate what he's trying to say or get into a back and forth with a fugitive. What I will tell you is... there is one singular place to establish your innocence or prove yourself not guilty, and that is a court of law. It's not Facebook, it's not Instagram, and it damn sure ain't on the run.
Nope. Let's talk about what we know now that we didn't know, 15 days ago, 16 days ago? How many days has it been?
It's about 16 days at this point. Maybe I might be out of count, but it's been too many.
Yeah, May 16th was the escape. What do we know now that we didn't know then? Anything, Jason?
We know that there was a lot of activity in the jail, on the jail calls. My digital forensics team, which is headed up by Holly Freeman, has been combing through volumes and volumes of jail calls. They've been able to connect these fugitives with friends and family in the community, some of which has led to arrests, some of which has led to other information that provided other leads. So we know these guys were planning on getting out. We know that they were planning on getting out that day because they were trying to set up rides and meeting spots and talking to folks they were interested in about getting together and meeting. We also know that there was a failed attempt in the 1st of May, two inmates from the exact same cell. And that was not reported to anyone or known by anyone outside of the jail until the 22nd of this month when that case appeared on the dockets in court. We know that a third of the monitors were down based upon statements by the sheriff. And we know that a large portion of the locks had malfunctioned and had not been replaced or dealt with by the sheriff. I think that's sort of sums up what's factually on the record and undisputed right now.
Let's talk about what's going on with this. I don't understand what the sheriff was trying to do with your office and investigating and Liz Murrell's office. Who's investigating what?
We referred, before any action by the sheriff, we referred the case to the attorney general. I thought it was best that there was one lead. This was after I went in with the NOPD forensic team to dust the entire crime scene for fingerprints and take photographs that could be used in court and a test for DNA of that hole in those bars that had been cut. After we did that, the AG and I met again. We had met a number of times, and we communicate every day almost about this. And we decided that she would be the single point of contact for receiving information, single point of contact for investigating this and dealing with the fallout of this and the issue in Tangipahoa, because it seems as if this is not just happening in Orleans Parish. And then the following week, the sheriff is spinning her wheels and busying her office's time with trying to have us recused, which is the most bizarre thing I've seen outside of how long it took to let the public know what happened.
Can you comment on the investigation about other employees at the prison that were involved, or who knew what when, or is that investigation ongoing?
It is an ongoing investigation. The AG is pursuing all of that. Any and all evidence, reports, recordings, video recordings about how these folks came to be on the first floor, none of whom should have been on the first floor because they're dangerous. That's going to be going to the AG. And they're pulling on every lead, every thread about maybe who this deputy was that Williams speaks of, who was assigned to the floor at the time. And there's going to be a thorough investigation of who knew what and when and played any role, however slight, whether that's turning your back on something you knew what was going to happen, whether it was providing them the instrumentality used to defeat those bars, any and all culpability.
Do you have any idea what kind of timeline you're looking at?
I think every investigation has its own timeline. I think there's an exigency with all of the investigative agencies that are working on this. I think they realize that the jail is compromised, as stated by the sheriff. They realize that the sheriff's office really can't be a credible agency to its law enforcement partners until they root it out and they're certain that anybody that played any role is still not working over at the jail.
So yeah, that was my question. Coming up.
That's
with
the urgency is there.
Yeah, Jason, that was the reason for the question, because it's like until you know who was in on it and who wasn't, how do you know that the jail is safe today? Because you don't know that they're not in cahoots with prisoners today, right? I mean, am I right or not?
That's absolutely. You know, you're absolutely right. So that one cell that they attempted to break out of once, and that they 10 men were able to escape from on that morning, that has been welded closed. And the back has steel reinforcements, so we know there's no vulnerabilities there. But in terms of the human beings that played any role, I don't think we can have a whole lot of confidence in anything coming from that agency, whether it's courthouse security or whether it's custody and control of inmates, until we for a fact know that anyone who played a role in this jailbreak is not still in that office and still working, or so, any of the protocols have not been changed.
So how does that affect your office, whether it's prosecutions or investigations, et cetera?
Well, I mean, there's a couple of things. Care, custody, and control is important to my office and every citizen in this community, because we don't want another jailbreak. And the sheriff's office is responsible for the security of the courthouse. Right. So a jailbreak and threats to witnesses has a ripple effect on the criminal justice system, because jurors may be not as willing to show up when they get those jury summons because of the perception of a lack of security coming from the sheriff's office. Witnesses, victims who were under the impression, and rightfully so, that these inmates who were supposed to be in custody, who were convicted, were not going to get out. They're not going to have the comfort level they need to come to court. So I feel like all of that's compromised right now. And I've asked city council and the CAO to look at the possibility of a private security company securing the courthouse, at least the outside, the entrances and exits, for our victims, for our witnesses, for our judges, and for the jurors who come to play a very vital role in the criminal legal system.
Have you had any conversations with the mayor about any of this?
I have not.
Okay. Has she contacted you?
She has not.
Okay. When it comes to the search for the inmates that are the escapees that are still on the loose, is your office involved in this, or are you getting briefings update daily on what's going on? Because I know that it involves, I guess, some people that prosecuted these cases in your office, right?
Yeah, we're getting updates and briefings on a very regular basis. My office is handling the digital forensics portion of it, which is the jail calls, mm-hmm. and we're getting close to going through all that information, and that's all been provided, and it's going straight to the FBI and Brian Fair, who is the man on the street for the U.S. Marshals Service, who's doing an absolutely amazing job. I mean, I just really have to take a moment to say Brian Fair and the U.S. Marshals Service have been very quietly doing just amazing work for the people of this community, not just in this case, but in other cases as well. But we're going to keep combing through that to figure out if there were any threats made via phone or any plans made going back further than the past 7 days, looking back 30 days. We don't know how long they were planning and plotting this to see what we can find out.
So the reward's up to $50,000. I'm just wondering, you've been doing this a long time. You know, you got peers and so forth. Is there a point where it becomes either a tipping point with money where, they won't do it for, somebody won't turn somebody in for 50, but they will for 100, or conversely, where it becomes personal and not business, where it doesn't matter how much money it is, I'm not going to turn them in?
We live in a capitalist society. I was talking to a group of trial lawyers the other day, and they're thinking about putting up some more money. I do think there's a point in which cousins will turn on cousins and brothers will turn on brothers. And honestly, Tommy, given this video that surfaced and given what you've heard from the families of these folks, I mean, why wouldn't they just go to their families and say, turn me in and collect this money? Mm. I mean, if you care about your family, if you care about proving that you're not guilty, I mean, that seems to make a whole lot of sense. But honestly,
turn me in, get the reward. Turn it in, turn me in, get the reward, and use it for your defense, right? That's what you're saying?
I'm saying for your mother, for your grandmother. I mean, this is not going to end well for either of these two. Mm-hmm. If you thought you were innocent of everything you were charged with, breaking out of a jail is only going to create new charges. And so I'm just saying, from a human standpoint, from a family standpoint, turn yourself in, call your family, tell them where to tell the authorities to meet you. Let them earn that money. I mean, this whole thing is just so bizarre, Tom. I can't quite wrap my head around some of the thinking that's come out of it.
When it comes to, you know, the real effects of this with your employees, with victims, with witnesses, et cetera, this has been going on for May 16th since then. Do you have a number for them? Do you have a number about how many people have been affected? Obviously, the whole area with the escaped convicts, but directly impacted by this?
Look, directly, we've got children who aren't in camp, who aren't in their homes. We've got their parents living other places out of the parish. And that is very unsettling. They can't work while they're relocated. They can't get settled. They can't make sense out of what's occurred.
Attention, sports enthusiasts. Keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play. No purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore. From action packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire, the fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus TNC supply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Directly. And let me say this. I think that small businesses, whether it's restaurants, whether it's hotels, this is a national news story. Mm-hmm. This is a black eye for the city of New Orleans. And I think, you know, summer season is hard for our restaurants. Anyone who's decided not to come to the city of New Orleans because of the news they've seen on this jailbreak, I think they are directly impacted as well. And we have to bring this to a close so we can get back to the business of being who we are.
Yeah, I don't want to push too much on this, but I would think the more you put out there, the more it hurts you. So I would think a video like this would help maybe in the capture or not necessarily.
You know, I mean, the world, the internet is undefeated, and you know, the things that get posted, I don't really have the words, but in law enforcement, information has a big value.
That's what I'm trying to say. It's just more information, so I would think
exactly
you would
right.
want them to keep putting out videos if they could, right?
No comment on that.
Gotcha. All right. We'll take a break, pick it up with Jason Williams, talk about crime in general in the city when we come back. 923 traffic. Taking a break. WWL. 928, spending some time with District Attorney Jason Williams. And Jason, it occurs to me that but for the prison escape, I'm not sure that there's a lot of crime we're talking about. Tell me what's going on with your office and crime in the city, et cetera.
So, I mean, we're still leading the nation in terms of when you look over the last 3 years, reduction in violent crime, but reduction in all categories, mm-hmm. faster and in a larger volume than any other place. And that's including the terror attack. And that has been done by using technology in my office, digital forensics, open source intelligence, looking at using everything that's out there, Ring doorbell, crime cameras, using social media posts, and unprecedented partnerships and collaboration. Ann Kirkpatrick is one of the best partners in the world. Her homicide detectives are working daily at charge conference and at grip meetings with my homicide unit prosecutors, Josh Jackson from the ATF, weighing in to take guns and drugs off the street. Then we go in and close the business if it was in any way participating in that. That's yielding real results. The last time I think I was on the show before the jailbreak, we were talking about ridding Hardin Park close to St. Augustine of drug dealing, mm-hmm. gun possessions, and some of the violence. We now have 18th Ward, Lowry Cruz, and his team of young people with kids programming that park, teaching them sports activities, breathing new life into that community. So New Orleans is transforming itself from a public safety standpoint. I know that this jailbreak is distracting from that good news story, and I'm looking forward to having all these 10 men back in custody so we can get back to focusing on this work, focusing on driving our numbers down anymore. We've made a point with the chief to say being out of the number one spot in terms of the murder capital, that's not good enough. We want to get out of the top 10, and then we want to get out of the top 20, and we want to put strategies in place that we can lock in and institutionalize that will keep working regardless of who the DA is, regardless of who the police chief is, and regardless of who the mayor is.
And we talk about, you know, three-legged stools and so forth. From what you're saying, it sounds like the suspects the police are arresting, the reports they're giving you, it's stuff that your office can work on and get convictions on.
That's absolutely right. And when it's not, Tommy, we don't just throw up our hands. They don't just throw up their hands. I've got a district screener. That's the intake prosecutor in every police district in the city. They're with the police more than they're with our office, who are working with them to figure out if there's any gaps or deficiencies so we can fix that before that case gets to court. so that we have more cases that go from arrest and probable cause for arrest to proof beyond a reasonable doubt in front of a New Orleans jury.
And the judges are an important part of that as well. Thoughts?
They're a huge part. They're a huge part. I mean, they get to decide. They're the deciders in chief of the cases. We just get to present them. They decide what bonds will be set, if there will be a bond that's set. And sometimes they decide guilt and innocence. And they're the ones that usher the juries through that process when they decide and sit in judgment about whether or not we've proved the case beyond a reasonable doubt together.
Are there any judges that are for whatever reason you feel as though you've proven the case and then you're not getting a guilty verdict that on a consistent basis or not?
Look, when I was since the time that I've started my practice in 1997, there's been cases that I thought should have gone the other way that don't, on the civil side and the criminal side. I'm not going to Monday morning quarterback that thing. I'm just trying to figure out how to make our cases stronger so there's not an option for it not to go our way. I will say that Section J, Judge Germany has stepped away for medical leave. Calvin Johnson stepped in. Chief Judge retired Calvin Johnson, who's an amazing jurist, has stepped in. He is running that docket now at the request of the Supreme Court. He was in my office yesterday. We hosted him as well as the public defender's office. My chief of trials, my deputy chief of trials, and my attorneys for that section of court. And we're working methodically to reduce the docket in Section J, which had ballooned to an out of control number. And we're trying to figure out what wasn't done there. Why weren't cases moving faster there? To figure out ways to move them faster, whether that means at some point bringing in a second judge ad hoc so that we can try those cases that can't be resolved faster. But that number is too big in Section J, and we're working collaboratively and constitutionally to bring that number down. And we're probably going to be meeting on a very regular basis now that Judge Johnson is in there so that we can focus on that unusually large docket to get those numbers down.
How did the cases get assigned to sections for those of us that are not intimately aware of the system?
There's a random allotment process that happens in the clerk's office. It's one of the clerk's responsibilities when charges are brought. They're randomly selected to go to a different section of court. And there's, by law, supposed to be, and by rule of court, no rule of thumb about them going to a specific section. That way everyone's got a fair shot at getting in any one of the 12 sections of court.
Keep justice blind, I guess, the idea. But I guess I'm wondering, Jason, if one docket is so overloaded, is there any provision for the other docket that maybe has openings or is not as overloaded to take over or not?
You know, there's been conversations about that, basically burdening or shifting the load to another section of court. It wouldn't be fair to the other judges that are being efficient and are efficiently moving their cases. Also, there's an argument it wouldn't be fair to the defendants because then they would not have that random allotment that the rules of court apply for, which is, I assume, why the Supreme Court is focusing on providing more resources to help us fix what's broken in Section J so that docket size can be more commensurate with what you see in the other 11 sections of court.
And one thing backs up into the other, because if you got people that are waiting for trial and the docket's backed up, they're either in the Orleans Justice Center, and we've already documented the problems there, or it brings me to my next question, which is bail, ankle monitoring, magistrates, and so forth. Does that seem to be working out for you?
I'm still not happy with the process of electronic monitoring. I think ASAP does a really good job with what they do in terms of protocols. I still believe that there are certain individuals charged with certain crimes that don't deserve an ankle monitor. We don't need to make the police department or the LSP's job harder by having offenders who've proven themselves to be dangerous because of one arrest. I don't believe they should get a second chance to be out. I think if a person is supposed to be under curfew home incarceration or home and school or home and work, if they're found once not to be where they're supposed to be, I think they should be yanked back into court. I think it's very dangerous for survivors of domestic violence, for stores that people have been stealing from repeatedly. I don't think those individuals should be released on an ankle monitor, because I don't think an ankle monitor can solve that problem. That being said, there are certain instances where persons could benefit from an ankle monitor without putting the public at risk. But we've got to make sure that the judge that put that person on an ankle monitor every day is checking those reports to make sure that person is where they're supposed to be in real time, or at least every single day, right? That way we won't have an incident where a person's on an ankle monitor, but they're putting a gun on someone in the French Quarter, or worse yet, shooting a gun at someone in the French Quarter.
I know you're
or
busy.
Anywhere in the city, for that matter.
I know you're busy. Real quick thoughts on juvenile justice and the way it's working in the city.
You know, I think that our children are living in a space of unprecedented post-traumatic stress in terms of what they've seen before they reach the age of majority. And we have to go upstream and figure out why young people are falling in. A lot of that falls on the work of people outside of the criminal justice system. But if you intervene in a person's life, whether their grandmother was killed or their father was killed, or they see something or they're abused, if we intervene with the right interventions at the right time, those persons don't develop a poor relationship with violence and become offenders themselves. And I think we've got to start focusing on public safety in that space, because arresting and convicting is not the only answer, and it's not the only thing in our toolbox as a city. And I hope the next mayor and the next city council will be focused on those upstream work, so that we're not just continually pulling people out of the river, but figuring out why they're falling in.
I want to invite you on one time when we are away from an election, talk about judges. I know you got a very long history of being an attorney, and now the district attorney appearing before judges. Just to educate the electorate on what it takes, because elections have consequences, and you talked about the backup in Section J. Just what makes for a good judge, what makes for a bad judge, and what the electorate should look for. We'll do that in the future, all right?
I'd love to do that, Tom, because there's a lot of nuance, but the first rule of thumb is showing up early, staying late, and whatever you do, you got to show up every single day if you work for the people of the city.
Yep. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Jason Williams, New Orleans District Attorney. We'll take a break, talk to John Cuvion. He's got a new survey out about how New Orleanians feel about the leaders and where things stand with the mayoral and sheriff's races. 9:40, 20 till 10. Traffic now, WWL.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available if at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.